This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yeah. It's just an awesome time to be in God's presence, to just worship and praise Him. Let's just take a moment to pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your goodness and your graciousness. It's been a long week for some, but we know when we're in your presence, we find refreshment, Lord. And as we praise together, God, as one family, one church, one communion, one spirit, we just ask for your presence and your spirit to be here in our midst, Lord. And for those who are here today, maybe with a heavy heart, God, we just pray that you would comfort and lighten up their burdens, because that's the kind of God that you are. But above all, Lord, we are just here to give you glory today because of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song called Indescribable. And God really is an indescribable God. When you think about the universe, the skies, the stars, everything, He's just amazing. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the songs that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who was told every lightning bolt where it should go, or sin heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Sun and gives us to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable,
unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. Amazing, God. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing.
Amen. Amen. You can stand if you want to, you can sit if you want to, but we're just going to have a moment of worship. Let's just keep our eyes closed and just reflect on the majesty of God. Think about Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Every single detail, He spoke it to being. He's a great God. At the peak of His creation, He created you and I in His image. So when you sometimes struggle to understand who you are, think of your identity in Christ. You're created under the image of the Creator of the universe. Let that comfort your hearts and soul.
With no point of reference, You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as You speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of Your breath. The planets form. If the stars are made to worship, so will I. I could see Your heart and everything You name. Every bird and star, a signal fire of creation sings Your praises, so loud. So will I. God of Your promise, You don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or spoken. All nature and signs follow the sound of Your voice. And as You speak, 100 billion creatures catch Your breath, evolving in pursuit of what You say. to heart and everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you so blind. So alive. If the mountains bow in reverence, so alive. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so alive. If the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sound of all our praises still falls shy, then I'll sing again 100 billion times.
Control. I want
I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love. Set a fire, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I sing without instrument.
Set a fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. Jesus found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing
majesty,
majesty, forever changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty,
spoken to me.
I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I can't do anything without you, Jesus. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you.
Thank you, Father, that we could have been singing it. We're lost without you. This is why we're here today, Father, to just strengthen the relationship with you again. That we can come closer to you, that we can learn more from you, that we can be excited about you, and that it is not only going to be limited to this area at the moment, but as we are going to leave as well later on, that we can take it along and that we can spread it in this world till there's still time to make that decision to follow you, to be with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that we can come and that we can listen to you. And maybe there are things in our head of things which happened earlier today or maybe earlier this week and which is just coming back again, that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. That our minds are going to be focused on you, Lord, and that there's not going to be any distraction from the enemy, that we can bind his powers, that we can focus on you. Thank you, Father, that we can hear what you want to share with us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. On a Thursday evening, we always go to Utrecht and evangelize from 8 till 9, and then we speak to different people, different situations. And last Thursday, as we always go a couple, two, last Thursday we were uneven, so one had to go on his own, and I took that privilege to go on my own. And then I had a conversation with somebody. And it was very interesting. I never had such a conversation with such a person. He's coming from India. He's working in Germany. And he was visiting Utrecht. And as I was speaking to him, he was talking about stuff. He knew. He knew everything. He knew about Catholic. He knew about Hindu. He knew about Buddhism. Knew something about Christianity and all those type of things. But each and every time he was critical. It wasn't part of his life. He was always outside of it. He was a spectator and giving any comments. But there's one thing which was very interesting from that conversation is that he tried to limit relationships with other people as far as possible. He went that far that he asked the company where he was working to delete his birthday from his HR file. So which means that they don't know what day he's actually born. I don't know then if they know which day they've got to send him on pension, but anyway, that it was deleted. And he didn't know, he simply didn't have any, he didn't have a Facebook, he didn't have any platform. Then I asked him, because in my conversation at a certain time, I asked him a question and then I referred to his birthday. And he said, my mum will know my birthday, of my siblings maybe, but nobody else knows it. And I was quite interested, surprised by that. He didn't have, and he didn't want to have, relationship with other people. He was on his own in Utrecht. He was walking around. He could show me on his phone how many steps he did in Utrecht that day. But on his own. He couldn't share with anyone. And that was quite remarkable. And when the Lord gave me then that I had to preach about relationships, that's the one which came up. I'm going to talk a little bit later on. I'm going to talk a little bit more about him and mention something which I felt what was lacking over there. About relationship today, I've split it up in three sections. The first is the type of relationships we have in this world. The second part is then the type of relationship we have with God, the Creator. And then the last one is, but what type of relationships does God actually want to have with us? Because we can have our ideas, but we've got to find out what are his ideas so that we are walking the right path. Now, first of all, if we take a look at relationships, it's a connection, it's an association, or it's an involvement. Which means that you've got a connection somewhere. And all of us, we've got, some of you are married, some of you are engaged, some of you have got friends, you've got a neighbor, you've got a landlord, you've got a receiver of revenue, even where you've got a relationship with as well, and so on and so on. Even with that person, what you see sometimes in the shop, that you greet the person because you remember that face, and a person greets you again. So there is a relationship that we've got in this world. If we want it or if we don't want it, some have got benefits, some have got responsibilities, but we all of them have got them. And that's not actually the part where we are focusing on this afternoon, but I just want to, relationship should, the terminology shouldn't be unknown to each and everyone. We should know about it. The second thing is the type of relationships we have with God. And the question is, does God want to have a relationship with us? Yes. The scripture, what I want to quote, is the one of 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 6, where it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. He wants to have a relationship with each and every one. He doesn't exclude anyone. He includes each and every one. Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. It also tells us how we can have that relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. But if God wants to have a relationship with us, how do we reply? What are we saying back to God when he's giving that invitation to us and he says, I want to have a relationship with you? How are we replying? I've put it in 5 points, and yes, you can criticize me over it, but anyway, just to help us a little bit from the one extreme to the other extreme. The one extreme is no relationship. The person simply says, I'm not interested in God. I don't want to have any relationship with God. This specific Thursday evening, I spoke to such a person. When I started asking him, I said, who's Jesus Christ in your life? And he had a look at me. And he looked me in the eyes, which normally people not quite easily do. But he looked me in the eyes and he says, do not speak to me. Go and speak to somebody else and tell him about Jesus. I'm not interested. And he wasn't saying that to me. In effect, he's saying that to God. He's reacting by that he's not interested in having a relationship with God at that specific moment. Because yes, afterwards we always pray that there's going to be a visitation from God to that person, that he's going to get a dream or anything else. Or maybe there's another person who's asking him the same question. And after 2 or 3 or 5 times that he says, but wait a moment, I've got to start listening because this is happening too much. The next one is an interesting one. The CEO Christian. And CEO means Christmas and Easter only. When I saw this one, I thought, okay, this one is easy to remember. But can you see what this guy is doing? Or this girl is doing? Or this lady? He's only going to church when it suits that person. He's not listening to what God is asking for, but is doing the way she or he wants to be in control. Wants to go to church whenever he or she feels about it. And this is also based on that people sometimes go to the church out of tradition or culture, and they think if they're going to do that, then they are saved, then they are fine, then they don't have to worry. It wasn't Thursday evening, but it was another Thursday evening when I spoke to a person, a Catholic person out of France he was. He was also visiting Utrecht, and I asked him as well, are you sure you're going to heaven? And he said, yes, I'm sure I'm going to heaven, because I'm doing good works, and I'm a member of the Catholic Church. That one I haven't seen in the Bible yet, and I spoke a little bit to him about it. We do not give such type of member certificates at Shofar, that you can say, okay, I'm going to heaven when I've got it. No, we don't do that. There is not such a certificate. There is not such a type of thing. But people sometimes, they are brought up in a culture, in a Catholic church or in another church, and then they think, well, I'm going to church, and then through that, yes, I should be fine, which is actually not the case. The next one is that we've got sometimes a very vague and a distant relationship. God is far away. We haven't got much of a contact with him. We pray, we sometimes send our wish list to him, but there's not that intimate relationship where we're experiencing the presence of God and we're hearing then what God is sharing with us. You've got that distant relationship. And most of the time we will find that time is the problem over here, that a person doesn't want to spend time with God and experience the presence of God. In the Old Testament, we see that the Jews were visiting the temple 3 times a year. If they wanted to have experience the presence of God, now I'm maybe saying it a little bit bluntly, but they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem to experience the presence of God. And God told Moses to write down, let them go at least 3 times a year. That at least 3 times a year from all over Israel, that they're coming to Jerusalem and that they're spending time. That we can read in Deuteronomy 16:16. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord of God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of the Weeks, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. If they wanted to experience the presence of God, they had to go to the temple, and this is where they could experience God. We do not have to go to a certain place. We are the temple. The Holy Spirit is in us. So we are the temple, so we can communicate directly with God. But these people, when they were going the 3 times a year, they were so excited of going that the pilgrim psalms have been written specifically for that, as they were singing those psalms, as they were approaching Jerusalem. So this is the one which is a vague and a distant relationship. The next one is a very volatile relationship, high and low. It's continuously up. The one day the head is in the clouds, you're walking on clouds and you're speaking to God and he's sending messages to you, and you are, I should say, full of God, and you sing and you pray in tongues and all those type of things. Everything is going well. And then the next day, it just falls into pieces. You're praying, and then it, each and every time, gets stuck to the ceiling. Not this ceiling, a normal ceiling of 2.44 meters. It gets stuck over there. The prayer doesn't go up. You continuously have got that up and down, up and down, up and down. The verse what I want to quote over there is coming out of Hebrew, where it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If we're going to seek him diligently, we are not going to experience those downs. We continuously will have an experience that he is with us, and that he will always communicate with us whenever it's necessary. The last one, the fifth one, is the father-son or the father-daughter relationship. And that's the ultimate relationship, what God wants to have with all of us. When you pray, you experience God's presence. When you ask for an answer, he gives you an answer. Through the Holy Spirit, you're hearing what the Spirit is saying. And he guides you. You never feel alone. You always feel there's somebody who's looking after you. And this is the relationship what God wants us, that we should have. Those of you who were privileged to do the Encounter 3 yesterday, we were talking about identity, because then you know who you are. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. You know your destiny. You know that where you're going to and what you've got to do. But you also know that you've got an authority, which is God also giving to us. So that relationship is the perfect relationship. That's the one where God wants us, that we should be. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things, and through whom we live." That's the ultimate, a living relationship with a living God. This is where we are looking for. You will see those five on the screen now, and I've put a question on top of it. What type of relationship do you have at the moment with God of one of those five? The no relationship, the ultimate relationship, or somewhere in between, or a little bit more on the one side, or a little bit more on the other side. You don't have to give me an answer. Just think a little bit about it. Where do you place yourself? But then we come to the third one. What type of relationship is God? What does he want to have with us? What type of relationship is God wanting that he wants to have with us? God wants far more from us is what we actually think. And revelation is revealing then God's character and his purpose for the man which he created. It's a very well-known scripture out of Revelation 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Again, that invitation from God. He's knocking on the door. He's waiting that we are opening up, that we open our hearts and that we allow him to come in. "I will come in and dine with him." The dining, the eating, is a very important thing in the Jewish principle. When we take a look at pictures in the newspaper, or we take a look at the screen on a TV with the news or whatever, and if famous people meet each other, what we see the whole time, they're shaking hands. And shaking hands is confirming that there's an agreement, there's a connection, they are communicating with each other. But if you are in Israel, they will ask you, what happened afterwards? Did they have a meal? Because that meal is a confirmation of the agreement which they've made. And we've got such a beautiful example in a communion, what we've got, what we're going to do next week again, when we're going to have a meal, confirming again of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. So Jesus is saying then through John over there, I stand at the door, I'm knocking, I want to come in, I want to dine with him, and I want to be with him. He wants to have fellowship with us. This is the type of relationship what God wants to have with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be in our, we can say in our house, but also that he wants to be in our heart, as with the Holy Spirit. God wants to have a living relationship with us. And God wants us, that living relationship with us is a type of a process. It's not a thing which is just suddenly happening. And that process, we call it the sanctification process. It's the process of holiness, we also can call it. It doesn't mean that once you're saved, and now you can sit on your couch with your remote control and you can wait for the second coming of Jesus. No. It's a process, which means that there's a sanctification process, so we're continuously busy with doing something. We're continuously busy. And it sounds like work. But the word love is also a verb. It also means that something has got to be done. Sanctification is to make holy, to consecrate, and to separate, which means that you are set apart from the ungodly patterns and practices of the world. Which means we've got continuously we've got to be busy and have a look and see, okay, but where are we busy? What are we busy with? And we're having a look at that sanctification process and say, okay, where are the things that I maybe must change? A little bit in practical terms, sanctification involves an ongoing process of spiritual growth. So you're growing. It's not a matter of that you are exactly the same, but you grow. Spiritual growth, development and maturity, by which God refines us spiritually and he prepares us for his purpose and evolves us in his plan. And if we read that and if we understand it, what God is busy with doing with us, that he wants to be, that we should be in that process with him, in that sanctification process, in that process that he is making us holy, that he is setting us apart, that he is busy with us to prepare us, to make us ready for the plans what he's got, then we can say, but yes, now I can see. A church is not a matter of coming on a Sunday here and to be entertained. No. A church is where we're going to say, how far are you? Where are you? What is happening? What's happening in your process of holiness with the Lord? And that's something what we can ask each other. And that's something what we should ask each other. Because we should be in that process continuously. We shouldn't be stagnant. We shouldn't be at a certain level and then stay. No. We continuously should be process, in that process, that we get set apart and that we are coming closer to God. In practical terms, even a few points which I've put over there. A believer maintains a close personal relationship with Christ. So you're continuously busy with God. You're speaking to God, you want to copy Jesus of what he has been doing. You participate in fellowship with other Christians, what we are doing. And just now when we are having coffee and tea, you must hear the fellowship is going then. It's humming there. Devote themselves to prayers. We're praying. We're praying for things what God is putting on our hearts. If it is the war in Ukraine, if it is the government in this country, whatever the Lord is putting on your heart, you're devoted in prayer. You obey God's words. What has been written, what Urbanus has been spoken about last week, the Logos, but also the Rhema, what God is sharing with you through your Holy Spirit. You obey that. You obey God's word. And be sensitive to God's presence. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and care. Love what is right and hate what is wicked and wrong. And with this one, we sometimes have got difficulties because it's so easy when we are in this world that we are doing things of the world, although we know that it is not correct, but we're doing it. Put sin to death. We've got to stop sin, and we can do that. If we have got a certain habit of doing a certain thing, we can't say, okay, I'll just leave it because my mom did it, and I'm doing it also, so there's nothing that I can do it. No, It can be stopped. It is possible to do it. If you need deliverance, then it has got to be done, but that it can be stopped and that you're not going to let that sin continue in your life and in your children's life. Submit to God's discipline and continue to obey and be filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we are open for the Holy Spirit, that we are allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, he set them separate in the desert. He was actually busy with that sanctification process of them because he revealed himself to them. They built the tabernacle over there. So everything where we can see, God was busy with them. But he took them into a desert. He didn't do it when they were still in Egypt. He basically prepared them that they were correct, that they were right as what they were entering the promised land. And God is requiring from us that we should be continuously busy with that sanctification process, that we maintain a life of holiness. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." So we've got to pursue it. We've got to be busy with it. We are shofar, or in that one concerned, maybe a little bit awkward when we visited the shofar church quite a few years back for the first time. They had a spreadsheet on a few chairs laying around, and they said, "We are welcoming you as a newcomer, but we want to send you as a church planter." And then if you see that one for the first time, then you think, "Ooh, these guys are... They really have got something in mind." But in effect, it should happen with each and every one of us. If we go through that sanctification process, that we understand where God wants us to be, not necessarily to plant a church, but to be a representative for his kingdom. Paul is also talking about the sanctification. He's elaborating a little bit about it in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this one is for me always such a beautiful picture, where if you take the three, and you will see the picture now, you see the three circles. The inner circle is the spirit. That's where we've got the heart-to-heart connection with God. And when we get saved, we make that link. Then around it, we've got the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. What are we thinking? What type of decisions are we taking? And what type of emotions are we showing? And then the third one is then the body, which is the outside. But those three are all linked to each other. Because if you get a person who's getting saved, his way of thinking is changing. Romans 12 verses 2 also says, talking about it, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." As a result of that change in the spirit, our mind and our will and our emotions also change. Because now we are linked up with the spirit of God. We've got that heart-to-heart connection with God. And then as a result, we even see changes in our body. If you take a person who's an alcoholic, if he gets saved, his mind, his will, and his emotions are going to change. He's going to stop drinking. There's a change in his body. Yes, for sure. So there we can see how they are linked to each other. But the mind, the will, and the emotions, this is where we've got to make decisions and where we've got to decide, what are we going to do and what are we not going to do? And this sanctification process is an ongoing process from within our spirit. If we've got that heart-to-heart connection, then we think differently. We have a look at the world differently. And we have a look at the people around us with whom we've got a relationship. We also have got it differently. 2 weeks back, I was talking about the prayer I mentioned something, and Anna said, God has made his followers also his co-workers. And it sounds a little bit strange that we can co-work with God at that level. But God wants to work with us. God wants to work through us. He wants to work through the church. And we are God's as co-workers for his purpose and his plans. And if we understand that we are God's co-worker, that he's preparing ourselves in that sanctification process as part of the relationship, and he's preparing ourselves for that, and if we can recognize it, and if we can say to God, but I'm available for that, I'm available for where you want to use me for, then we can put it in practice, then we can be a co-worker for God's kingdom. I want to summarize. Our relationship with God is important to the Christian walk, what we live in the area where we are and where we are making a difference. And through knowing Christ, we're also going to have a different influence with the people around us, that what we receive from God, that we can also share it with the people around us. And also, when we've got that relationship with God, we're looking different to the people around us, because we're going to see them the way God is seeing them. The man that I spoke about on Thursday evening, who didn't have any relationship with other people, there was one thing what I could see with him over there. He wasn't prepared to make any commitments. So ladies, if you meet that man, don't marry him. But that's the crucial part. We've got to make a commitment. If we do not commit ourselves, then nothing is going to happen. We've got to make that commitment towards God. And although I had a long conversation with him, and I could, with bits and pieces, share the gospel with him, there's one thing that I learned from that conversation. I don't want to be like him. And one thing which is missing from him is commitment, which is crucial. God wants to have commitment from us. God wants to be in a living relationship with us. But it's for us to decide, where are we going to be on somewhere of those five levels? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for that awesome privilege what we've got, that you want to be our Father, and that you are the creator of heaven and earth, and that you want to be in a relationship with us, Father. And there's maybe nothing new what we've heard this afternoon, Father, but I pray, Lord, that we are just reminded again, this is your will, what you want, and that we've got to reply. We've got to say, how do we want to react to that, and how do we want to commit? And Father, as all eyes are closed, if there's anyone over here who says, but he hasn't got any relationship with God, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior or God as your Father, but you feel this afternoon you want to move from that place, you want to start that relationship with God, and you want to make that decision. And if that's you, if the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, and you want to make that decision this afternoon, then I'm asking you to raise your hand now. Father, I pray, Lord, that we're going to commit ourselves. Commit ourselves to that relationship with you, Father. Commit ourselves to that sanctification process. And maybe we are like those CEO Christian, or maybe we've got a distant relationship, or maybe a volatile relationship with you, Father. That this afternoon that we can make that commitment and say, Lord, I want to change that. I want to make that change. I want to come closer to you. I want to pick up that relationship again. It has been there. I want to pick it up again. I want to be closer to you. I want to hear what you're communicating to me through your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father, that you're always behind us, always waiting for us. You're a gentle person. You're not forcing yourself down on us, Father. You're leaving it for us to make that decision. And I pray, Father, that this afternoon, that we can make that decision, that commitment to come closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're still going to sing a song or two, and during those songs, those who feel, when you saw those different points, where you feel that you have got to make a commitment to God and you want to do it with somebody in agreement, then I'm inviting you to come to the two different places over there. It will be Jade and Renee will be praying, and I will be praying along with, sorry Ian, you're going to pray with me. And we will be there. So there are two stations over there. Then we can pray with you. But not let it be something when you walk out that you say, ah, it was nice to hear it, and yes, I maybe have got to think about it. But make that decision today. Commit yourself and say, Lord, this is my commitment. This is what I want to do. I want to pick up that relationship because this is what you want us to do. And I only want to do your will. Have a blessed week.
So you can use me.
want to go with your presence, Lord. Remind us each morning, each afternoon, and each evening to be fixed on you, God. Sanctify us, Jesus. Help us to live our lives worthy of the gospel. And above all, God, we thank you for the greatest gift humanity has ever received, your Son, Jesus. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.